All right, it's time to kick off a conversation for a team that remains to be seen about what will bring energy, noise, all the things when it comes to Louisville. Got a new coach, maybe a new vibe. Lamar Jackson just got paid, so maybe it's all good for the Cardinals. Things are looking great. We'll talk about what will it look like for them this season. Spring football maybe gave us a little clue. We'll talk about it on today's show.
You are Locked On ACC, your daily podcast on the Atlantic Coast Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So it was the fighting Satterfields is what we all talked about last season. We had moments where we felt like Satterfield's job may be in limbo. Eventually it became in limbo, whether he slid right out onto greener pastures, aka maybe, you know, whatever. We'll talk about that later on through the show. But the Louisville Cardinals are with Jeff Brohm in a new era, and they're trying to bring back the Louisville of old, maybe even find themselves a $260 million quarterback when it's all said and done. Welcome to Locked On ACC. I'm your host, Candace Cooper, joined by Kenton Gibbs. Each and every day, you can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. We appreciate you making us your first listen each and every day. Download, subscribe to the podcast from anywhere you listen to podcasts, as well as subscribing on our YouTube channel. 1,000 is good, 2,000 is better. We're on the road to success. Kenton, how are you feeling talking about the Cardinals today?
I feel confused. I feel lost. I don't know what to say about these guys, but I'm going to do my best because there's so much ambiguity up in the air. But we're going to do our best to feel our way through this team and what they got going on here.
Absolutely. So to recap, Coach Satterfield had a couple interesting years while in Louisville, Kentucky. You got Jeff Brohm here. He's a coach of old. He's familiar with, you know, Louisville, familiar with the program, all the things. And people are saying sometimes you just got to go back home. We've seen it, you know, with other ACC coaches, Mac Brown. You just come back to where you know and figure things out, maybe turn programs around. Will that be Brohm's case? Already out the gate, I'm saying it's going to be one of those growth years.
You know, and that's very possible. It's very possible that this ends up being a rebuilding year per se, a year that they look back at and they say, hey, this wasn't a great year, but this was a year that got us started towards. This year was a building block towards something much better. So we're going to see. We're going to see.
Yeah, and I also think that it's just in terms of Malik Cunningham, everyone calling him the second Lamar Jackson, which, pause, can we just talk about Lamar Jackson's $260 million contract, five-year extension with the Ravens? Shout out to the homie. Will Malik Cunningham eventually do that? Who knows? He'll get his name called one of these days. We have the NFL draft happening tonight. I'm excited about it and, you know, all the things.
Yeah, that's definitely a possibility, and obviously Lamar – that was an ongoing contract dispute that lasted forever and a day. So, I mean, it's good to see that finally come to an end, and hopefully they can do some good things there in terms of ACC pros up there with the Ravens and what he's doing.
Absolutely agree. All right, so Jack Plummer will be the QB1 so far, so good. Maybe in camp things could shift, but we have Cardinals getting their lead going. However, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the fact that, you know, when it comes to ACC coverage, we have all the things putting us in place to have a very powerful, strong conference. Will Louisville be able to rise to the occasion this season, or will they be one of the hindrances of why we can't, you know, talk our talk?
This is tough. This is tough because you want to say, hey, they're going to struggle. They're going to have a terrible year, all that good stuff, because they're returning so little on offense. But then when you look at Jeff Brohm as a coach, that's where he makes his bread and butter. He is an offensive coach through and through. He is a guy who I wouldn't say revolutionizes passing games, but he gives them a shot in the arm. I think that that's fair to say. He gives every passing game he gets his hands on a shot in the arm. And so you're looking at this team and saying, how bad could they be really? But then if you watch the spring game, I mean, the offense didn't score at all in the second half. So it's tough. It's tough to say with any type of certainty, hey, I know for a fact how this season is going to play out. Because, again, this team last year was very mercurial. This team last year, you saw some flashes where it was like, man, this team can dominate. And then you saw moments where you just had to scratch your head to say, huh? Wait, what? The same team that took Wake Forest out to the woodshed was the same team that barely, and when I say just barely, I mean barely scraped by UCF by the hairs on their chinny chin chin. The same team that got blew out by Syracuse in what was one of the most embarrassing games in Satterfield's tenure. So you're looking at this team and you're saying to yourself, you know, hopefully Brom can get more consistency, but it's hard to say that with this many new guys in the cast, you're expecting more consistency than you had last year when you had more stability at the quarterback position. More stability on offense in general. It's tough to say.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think there's a lot of questions. And of course, you know, Brom and his leadership will certainly answer some of those, but not in 1 year. He's going to take time. And there's definitely certainly going to have to be some patience with this program. And hopefully they'll elevate again the conference. They'll pop some people in the mouth. I definitely think they're going to catch some people slipping. We talked about it with Miami. We talked about it with a couple teams here with Duke, maybe Wake Forest. They're just teams that, you know, historically may not have been like the most undefeated teams all the time, but you're going to have to play them good. Everyone here in the conference knows that. Now, as we look to talking about the schedule for the Cardinals, we'd be remiss if we don't talk about Haley Van Lith and her decision to go to LSU. So you got to stay tuned because, of course, we had a whole episode on that in our thoughts and want to make sure we give that time towards the end. But Kenton, as we talk through the schedule, I got to say, Chick-fil-A kickoff in Atlanta, Georgia, typically you want good teams.
Right.
Typically you want some quality teams opening this college football season and it to be great. The fact that Louisville opens the season on September 1st, Labor Day weekend, against Georgia Tech on a Friday, that's got to be the most blah Chick-fil-A kickoff game that I've seen in quite some time.
And here's where I'll give both Louisville and Georgia Tech a defense here.
Oh, wow.
Both of these teams there's a lot of questions and you're not expecting a blowout. How many of these Chick-fil-A openers have we seen where Alabama hit somebody over the head by 50? Is that something that, I mean,
but is this not a blowout, but it's bad football? What do you prefer?
So if the question is a close game with bad football or a blowout, I'd probably say a close game with bad football, because at least it's exciting. You don't know what's going to happen next. When we watched, and I hate to do this to the Florida State fans, if y'all are listening to this, just remember the good times and all the love I gave you a couple of days ago and go la, la, la through the rest of this. If you remember Alabama absolutely demolishing DeAndre Francois, why would you want to see a situation like that again? If you remember Alabama and what they did to USC, why would you want to see that again?
Yeah.
Why?
That's why? True. I can't wait to text this game is drunk because of all the foolishness that occurs. I see your point. However, you know, some exciting. Clemson Duke is exciting to me, right? I think that's a great, here we are. Let me punch you in the mouth. Let's see what we got going on here. Just saying.
You don't think that game is going to be a blowout?
No, I don't. Virginia Tech, Old Dominion. That's a game I want to see. Florida State, LSU. That's a game I want to see.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Are you saying that you would rather see Virginia Tech and Old Dominion in the Chick-fil-A kickoff?
Yeah, I think that's going to be a good game.
Okay.
Did you not see ODU upset Virginia Tech?
I'm not disagreeing with you. What I am saying is this, if we're talking in terms of good game, first of all, what is bad football when you say, oh, it's going to be a close game, but it's going to be bad football?
Well, this game is drunk in terms of drop passes, fumble the ball, turnovers, not capitalize on turnovers, just swapping 80 yards, you know?
And you saw the Virginia Tech ODU game last year. And if that's what you consider a game being drunk, those boys had entire handles of Hennessy before the game. You understand me?
I was just letting you know what I'd rather see. Louisville and Georgia Tech ain't one of them.
Listen, It's not about what you want to see. It's about what Chick-fil-A done selected to be up there.
That's it's right there in Atlanta, so obviously you have to go with Georgia Tech. It's pretty much a layup. But can they actually be the program that's worth must-see TV? We'll talk about all of that. Before we get into this full schedule, not just the kickoff games, we got to make sure that you guys are tapped in with Built Bar. I'm not sure how Built does it, but these bars taste like a candy bar while maintaining amazing macros. And what's even better is that they are healthy. Only 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar with a whopping 17 grams of protein. And now you don't need to wait to get a box for years. We've been talking about ordering Built Bars at Built.com, but now you can get them at your local Walmart or Sam's Club while you can get your specialty flavors at Built.com. Go to Sam's Club or Walmart, get that Sam's Club 13-bar box with hit flavors like a brownie batter puff or churro puff, and you will be all set. Kenton Gibbs and I here talking through Louisville's season. We're talking about a former Louisville guard towards the end of the show, so you don't want to miss our takes on that one as she decides to go to the Tigers. But as it stands, Louisville not only has the good kickoff game, according to Kenton, happening on September 1st, they then go and play September 7th against Murray State at home.
I think so. The kickoff game against Georgia Tech, historically, Louisville has never beaten Georgia Tech, I don't believe, but they've only played, I want to say, twice ever. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, I think that the two blowouts that Georgia Tech handed them, it won't be another one. I think that Louisville pulls out a close one here. I think that both teams are walking in with a ton of question marks and feeling their way through this thing. I think Louisville's talent gives them a slight edge. They come out on top here slightly.
And then on September 7th, they face off against Murray State.
That shouldn't be a problem. That they shouldn't struggle with Murray State. If they struggle with Murray State, they're in for a very long season. Very long.
September 16th, they face off against Indiana at Indiana, a Big Ten team that, you know, has had up and down years, but certainly is a decent program.
Yeah. I don't know. This is a game where I want to say Louisville is going to take it and Louisville has a shot, but Indiana wasn't very good last year after losing Penix. It feels like they'll have a bounce back year a little bit. I'll give Louisville a slight edge in this one as well.
Interesting. Boston College is a home matchup for the Cardinals. I'm sitting here saying to myself, the Eagles just got to get through the season. They got to figure out where half is going next. But when it comes to Louisville, this is, to me, one of the first tests beyond the Georgia Tech game where you say to yourself, where do we stand in the conference?
I think that Halfley is going to be up out of there by the end of the season, but I think that Halfley finds a way to win this one. I don't know why, but I think that if Louisville starts off this season, at what, 4-0? Would they be at 3-0 or 4-0 here?
They would be at 4-0.
I think if they start off the season at 4-0, this is where they slip and falter and things start to kind of show like, hey, you're replacing a lot of talent and you don't have a ton of talent offensively.
I think this is also a point if they are 4-0, people might be a little too high on them and they don't actually sit there and say, well, look at who you played and a whole lot of season left. But, you know, crazier things have happened. On September 29th, they'll face off against NC State on a Friday night light matchup.
Yeah, Louisville has struggled in Raleigh as of late, and I think those struggles continue. I think NC State gets a win here.
October 7th, face off against Notre Dame team.
Notre Dame is running through the ACC like some Tomb Raiders, and they don't have the answer to stop Laura Croft on this team. So Notre Dame gets an easy win.
Somebody's got to upset them because Commissioner Phillips can't call the AD like, hey, come join our conference. When he'd be like, why? There's no competition here for us.
I mean, if anything, that's more of a reason for them to join because it's like, hey, come on, come get yourself a bunch of conference championships, get some easy ones, you know. But Notre Dame ain't joining because of the money. They don't care about the competition.
Of course.
Competition ain't got nothing to do with nothing. It's about the bringbacks.
Heaven forbid people actually just want to compete in a whole, you know, sport thing. What else? Who knew? October 14th, they will be at Pitt.
Mm-hmm. This is a game I think could go either way. But I think that I think the experience on Pitt's defense brings this one home for Pitt.
October 21st, they have a bye week, and then on October 28th, they face Duke.
This Duke game would be a heck of a time to get off this snot. It really would be. It really would be. However, I don't think that they do it. It's something in me that's saying that they're going to have a really rough year this year. But if you look right beyond the horizon of that Duke game, you could see yourself having a great ending here.
November looks very cakewalky for Louisville, potentially. Virginia Tech on November 4th, followed by Virginia on November 9th.
I don't think either one of the Virginia teams will have it figured out next year. I just don't. I don't see a world where that happens. Also, Duke will just be coming off a game against Florida State. So that's another moment where I'm like, it could happen. They could come off the snot against a good Duke team. They could do that. But these Virginia teams, go ahead, chalk those down for two W's.
November 18th at Miami.
Miami is the biggest wild card in the conference of everybody, because you want to believe like, oh yeah, they're going to be good. They're going to have all these things going on. And then it's like, but will they, are they, can we believe in them?
And do you believe in Louisville more than you believe in Miami?
They're both very, this is a game that if I was a bettor, I wouldn't touch with the next man's money, because it's, yes, Miami is going to be the more talented team, but we've seen, if Miami does not have a good season, we've seen how that talent acts down the stretch.
That's fair.
We've seen it. So it's, I don't know. And this game would, I believe that I have them at 5 wins right now. So I believe this game would be for bowl eligibility. If Miami's having a tough season, I'll give this one to Louisville. If not,
no, this is, first of all, you have them at 7 wins already.
Oh, I have my 7 wins already?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, hey, some of the ones where I said it's a very close one, they go either way. But anyway,
I just think you have a very tiered approach towards all the ACC teams. Like, you have the people that are unbeatable, and then you have just like a why even bothers. And from reading the schedule, these are definitely some of the why do they even bothers for you.
I don't think that Louisville is a why do you even bother.
I didn't say Louisville. I'm talking about their opponents. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Virginia Tech is in the like, do we have to do this? Do we have to talk about them? I mean, we will if we have to, but sure.
Final game for Louisville will be on November 25th playing Kentucky senior night.
I'm not just saying this because I played at State. Devin Leary delivers in this game. It will not be a close one.
Are you being facetious? I can't tell.
No, he plays for Kentucky. He transferred over.
I know that he plays for them, but I'm asking about your tone is giving like, I don't know.
Oh,
it's giving
robotic. No. I'm being very serious. This game is not going to go well for Louisville. You know, hey, that defense.
You think Devin Leary with a bad arm is like that still?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
100%. I have no doubt in my mind that if you surround him with some capable talent and a capable offensive coordinator, he's going to do some special things. And
Will Levis 2.0?
The reality is, I think that he's one of the more underrated quarterbacks in the country. And so with that being said, you know, after a terrible fall from grace last year where you were the ACC preseason player of the year, only to get hurt in what, game 3 or 4. I think that there's a revenge tour brewing there, and very unfortunate for Louisville that their last game is going to see them on the wrong side of it.
Interesting enough. So that's about 7 to 8 wins for them when it's all said and done, give or take.
And again, this Louisville team is so up and down that you want to say like, yeah, I feel confident about that 7. I don't. Of all the ones that I've made where I'm like, hey, do you feel confident about saying that this team will do this? Mm-hmm. I truly don't, because we've seen it in the past with Louisville. And you ask yourself, will this change with Brom? We talked about Lamar Jackson earlier. When Lamar was there, we saw a team that at times looked like, man, they're unbeatable. And then a team at times where you're like, okay, so wait, how did everybody except number 8 get Division I scholarships? What happened?
That's fair.
Who gave them out? So, you know, it's not just the Satterfield problem. This is a this team has been this way for quite some time thing. And so we'll see. We'll see. I'm not super confident that they get to 7-8, but I think it's possible.
Let's definitely get some consistency from maybe from Louisville this season is what we can look forward to. Exactly. All right. Football, that's what it is. Louisville, look forward to having the season, talking about it more as we get through the offseason. But we'd be silly if we did not discuss the fact that Haley Van Lith, former Louisville standout, one who pretty much carried her program during her tenure, is going to LSU. We talked about it when Caleb Love and Haley both entered the transfer portal and talked about, you know, grass is greener and approach and all the things, and Haley having a no contact order in terms of where she was going. So we pretty much thought that was written in the sand, that Kim Mulkey gave her that phone call because she definitely tried to recruit her while at Baylor. And here we are now at Louisville, Louisville State University, Louisiana State University. She likes the things with the L's. And wearing number 11, not only will be her, will be Angel Reese and Flage. That's a pretty locked and loaded program.
Yeah, for sure. And I told you so. Told everybody so. Told everybody this was coming.
And who doubted you for you to feel like?
Yeah. Oh, no. I'm just saying that this is just a moment where it's like, you know, people like to call me Clueless Kenton and tell me every time I'm wrong about something. You know, every now and then, old Clueless Kenton, even a blind squirrel is going to stumble across a nut every now and then. And looks like I got a pretty big acorn here. But seriously, this is a situation where, I mean, Jeff Wall has done a good job of bringing in an excellent portal class to come in and replace all of the production that would be lost from last year, including Haley Van Lith. And I don't think you replace a Haley Van Lith one for one in terms of the edge, the competitiveness, the fieriness, all that good stuff. But you get a committee that's going to do the job. You get a committee. You get multiple players that are like, hey, everybody's going to get a year older, a year better, all that good stuff. We're also going to infuse some talent in from the outside. He did a good job of it, you know, and you wish Haley the best wherever she goes. But I think Louisville will be all right.
Do we think that there's a lot of spice down at LSU that will be beneficial? Like, Haley was Louisville. Louisville was Haley. I put one and one together, talking about leading the team, put the team on your back type of time. Is it going to be okay for her to not only not be Batman, but maybe not be Robin? Maybe she's going to have to be the butler. But they all make it work.
With all due respect to Alfred Pennyworth, because we all love Alfred, right? Alfred was cool. He was okay. One of the best Isaiah characters there is. Haley Van Lith is no less than a Robin. No less. Don't get me wrong. Angel Reese, for all the people talked about and said, oh, she isn't Caitlin Clark and da-da-da. The young woman has the NCAA record for most consecutive double-doubles. So, you know, do with that information what you will. But with that being said, and you need a player to complement your Batman. That's always going to be the case. You always need.
But is that not Flage?
I mean, what position does Flage play?
She's a guard.
What does she do best?
She's a ball handler.
Is she a good shooter?
You know, she has moments. Okay. All right. So Haley is going to be a shooting guard.
Haley is going to do a much better job of being a player that you can rely on in terms of spacing the floor and giving Angel Reese the space that she needs to operate underneath.
Who's gonna be the floor manager?
I mean, I would expect that Haley would take over some of those duties as well, but they also had a number one recruiting class in the nation coming in with one of the top point guards, maybe two. I could be wrong there. I know for a fact they have the top recruiting class in the country with a top point guard coming in. So I mean, they'll have players. They'll have players who can distribute the rock and all that.
I would be redshirting. I wouldn't waste one of my years. Especially if Haley committed.
But if you look at, so at the end of the day, when you look at this team, you're looking at what? Yeah, I mean, basketball in general, you're gonna have five players on the court. Is it a waste of year if you get to serve up dimes on the platter to Angel and to Haley for the majority of the time, and at times you get to completely play? If you're a catch and shoot guard, a point guard that has a catch and shoot ability, to say, Haley, go ahead and cook. Hey, Angel, go ahead and cook. I'll be here in the corner. when they send that double, kick it out to me. I'm gonna knock it down for you. I mean, I wouldn't consider that a wasted year.
A true freshman, though.
Yeah, a true freshman. I mean, we're seeing it more and more. These players are coming in more and more ready to show what they have and to not just come in and be on the roster, but be impactful right away. And so if you're a top player in the country, then that's kind of what you got to do. You don't get the number one recruiting class by getting the 81st point guard in the country. They have some absolute studs coming in. And so we'll see.
Sure, you have incoming people, but then you have this new world of free agency damn near where people who are already have the experience from a collegiate level come into your program, and now they are expecting a spot that you promised to a recruit or a commit, I should say.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, this is the balance that is college basketball. Every team is going to run into this problem of, okay, you're bringing in a recruiting class and you've got folks coming in via the portal. Well, how do you balance that? Who plays most? Who gets the most? All that good stuff. It's a good problem to have. And, we'll see how things work out next year for Haley in the game.
Yeah, of course. I think that it's going to be very unique, but maybe a good problem for women's basketball that we're even having these conversations, right? They're even talking about girls going to different programs and creating super teams when there was a point in time where the only super team you talked about was UConn's or Tennessee. So I think there's a very big change. But, Haley leaving the conference is certainly something that hurts at the end of the day because her great play certainly elevates the entire landscape of it. But I wish her nothing but the best.
Absolutely. I 100% agree. I'm not a person who believes it's good for the conference for any one team to be good. It's good for the conference when everybody's good. There is no one team in particular I say, oh, man, when NC State women's basketball is playing, the ACC is better. No. When any team is good, it's good for the conference. How do you get good? We all know, not your X's and your O's. It's your Larry's and your Joe's.
You got to think of a better reference than that because Larry's and Joe's usually don't sit on women's basketball programs.
Sure. It's your, I don't know.
Come on, Lakeisha and Jamel.
There you go. Well, sure. It's your Lakeisha's and Jamel's. It's your Haley's and your Angels. It's your that's who makes these programs go. That's who, when you look at these teams and say, well, why is the ACC so good? Look at the players. Yeah. Top to bottom, every team has a player or two that you're like, oh, man, they could go off for 30 on any night. Or they have a player that can do something spectacular on any night.
Truthfully, she heard Elizabeth Kitley coming back and she was like, all right, enough. That's probably what it was.
I mean, I get it. I get it. Kitley and the gang are there.
Coach Brooks been coaching his butt off, so I get it.
Listen, don't play with Kenny now. Play with Kenny. Put some respect on his name. Okay. But I don't think that it was that made this decision for her. I think what made the decision for her was LSU was going to have a massive void in that backcourt, and they were going to be relying on true freshmen who never played college basketball to play in one of the toughest conferences in college basketball. But not only that, to be going into a team that is looking to repeat as national champs.
The girl just was ready to win. I think Louisville did all they could for her, but I think in terms of like the landscape and her teammates wise, I think she just wanted that extra kick personally.
I mean, that's possible. That's possible. But I think that that's hard to say when Jeff Walk kept them in contention for ACC championships her entire time being there.
But at the cost of Haley having to put up insane numbers, right? I don't think there was shared wealth in terms of greatness that she could have an off night and therefore the team could be still as dominant.
For sure, but that is the essence of being a star player. How many star players around the country? How many star players around the country can you say, hey, you can afford to play like Pooh Dunn, whatever, and everybody is still going to be okay. Y'all are still going to get a win. How many?
I mean, just South Carolina that comes to top of mind. But, yeah, I get what you're saying.
If Angel Reese played poorly for long stretches last year, do you think that team went, again, double-double machine? Not sure. One time did she walk off that court and there was not a double-double to be had there. So,
The stat stuff is fictitious to me. And I think that their schedule was fluffy. But that's another story for another day.
But either way you cut it, either way you slice it, this is still a team. This is still a situation where if you are the star, you have to live in being the star. If you're the star,
sure.
I remember there was a clip on TikTok of a young man playing NBA 2K, right? It's a video game. It's a video game. This ain't real life. And he tells his teammate, pass me the ball. Y'all going to live by me. Y'all going to die by me. It's the last possession. They're down 2 points. He's saying, y'all going to live by me or y'all going to die by me.
All right, Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Butler is a perfect example. That's what the essence of the game is if you're a superstar. That team is going to live by you or they're going to die by you. And to me, saying that, well, I need more help because I don't believe that these can get it done. If you're not doing great things to the point where it's like.
So hey, she shouldn't have left?
I'm not saying that she
should. She should have seen it through?
I'm not saying that. I'm all for players doing what's best for them. I'm all for players doing what's best for them.
Yeah, it sounds
And nice. I'll tell you this. If it turns out that this is best for her, more power to her. However, I'm also not afraid to say some of these players need to seek some better counsel in terms of what their goals are and what they want. If her goal is to win a national championship, she has a much better shot at that at LSU than she does at Louisville.
I personally think she should have gone to Miami, kept the NIL deal, even though she could still keep it with Adidas going and just have that free shift. And of course, their program definitely has, you know, some gaps when it comes to guard play. But it's just me. That's the holistic approach, you know. It's the world I live in.
I mean, hey, you're not wrong. And again, when I look at a lot of these losses for Louisville last year, or when I think about the games I saw them play that, you know, didn't turn out in the favorable situation for them last year. I'm not saying that Haley Van Lith didn't show up, but what I will say is it's kind of disrespectful to her teammates to say it's on y'all for not showing up because Haley showed up and showed out, because in some of these games, she objectively didn't. She objectively didn't, and that's just the reality. And yes, she got extra defensive pressure that may have been alleviated by having quote unquote more help around her. But if you're the star, you're going to be option 1A. You're going to be the player that when they talk about, when they look at their scouting report, you're going to be the player that's at the top of it saying, this player likes to do this. This is where they like to go. This is where they like to get their shot off at. So, you know, that's just my thought there.
Okay. We'd love to end it with a good thought starter teaser. Y'all tell us what y'all feel about Haley Van Lith's decision to go to LSU. You talk to us about Coach Brohm and what you think the Louisville Cardinals will do this season. Who are you having your eyes on, specific players that we should watch throughout the fall? And follow us here at Candace D. Cooper, at TGIF_Kenton, at Locked On ACC. Subscribe to that YouTube channel. Until next time.